Philippians 3, 13, 14. But one thing I do, forgetting those things which are behind, I press toward the goal of the prize of the upward call of God in Christ Jesus. Philippians 3, 13, 14. Hebrews chapter 12, verses 1 and 2. Lay aside every weight and the sin which is so easily snares us. Let us run with endurance the race that is set before us, looking unto Jesus. Hebrews 12, 1 and 2. Deuteronomy chapter 33, verse 27. The eternal God is our refuge, and underneath are the everlasting arms. Deuteronomy 33, 27. Would you open your Bibles, please, to 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. And Luke chapter 1, verses 32 and 33. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verse 18. And Luke chapter 1, 32 and 33. We spend a moment in prayer before we begin our study. Father, we're thankful for all the wonderful blessings of life. We're thankful that we are members of that magnificent family called the Royal Family of God. We have the assurance that one day, we do not know just when, we will be gone from this earth and we'll be in our Lord's presence throughout eternity. Realizing that throughout eternity is a mighty long time, never comes to an end. And so we're thankful for life and for blessings and for salvation and for the blessings of life, for the opportunities which we have to study and learn. Help us in these moments of study today. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. 2 Samuel chapter 7, verses 18 through 20. We'll read those in a little while. Luke chapter 1, verses 30 to 33. Our subject today, the house of David. 1 Samuel presents the failure of man's king, Saul. 2 Samuel describes the enthronement of God's king, David. 2 Samuel also presents the establishment of the house of David, through which the Messiah, Jesus Christ, should later come. When Christ comes again, he will sit upon the throne of David, as presented to us in Isaiah chapter 9, verse 7, Luke chapter 1, verse 32. The story of David begins in 1 Samuel and runs into 1 Kings. When we go to the book of 1 Chronicles, the same story is presented from another standpoint. We first see David in his teaching days in 1 Samuel. And then in 2 Samuel, we see him as having been made king over Judah in chapters 1 through 4 and made king over Israel in chapters 5 through 24. I'll repeat, we first see David in his testing days in 1 Samuel, and then in 2 Samuel, we see him as having been made king over Judah in chapters 1 through 4 and made king over Israel in chapters 5 to 24. Viewing the first six chapters of 2 Samuel, we see David's grief over the death of Saul. We see David made king over Judah. We see an emphasis of 7.5 years. 7 years war with Ish-bosheth, Saul's son. David, aged 30, made king over all Israel. Reigned 33 years, as depicted in chapter 5, verses 3 through 5, and died at the age of 70. Jerusalem made capital of the nation. David brought the Ark of God and planned the temple in chapters 5, 6, and 7. David was very successful in wars. He completely subdued the Philistines Moabites, Syrians, Edomites, Ammonites, Amalekites, and neighboring nations. 2 Samuel 8:6 tells us that the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. I pause to remind you of that magnificent passage. 2 Samuel 8:6. The Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. One of the things that could be said about you and me is that the Lord desires to give victory to us wherever we go. What a wonderful thought that is, to know that God has a plan for us in such a manner that we can be triumphant and victorious on a moment-by-moment and day-by-day basis. 2 Samuel 8:6 tells us that the Lord gave victory to David wherever he went. David took an insignificant nation and with a few years built it into a mighty kingdom. As the story unfolds, it is necessary to see how the family of David was designed by God to bless the world. And it would be through one great king who would one day be born in a family who would personally live forever, establish a kingdom of endless duration. 2 Samuel chapter 7 speaks of how God promised David an eternal throne. It's important for me to repeat some things for you to be able to get it latched into your thinking. As the story unfolds, it is necessary to see how the family of David was designed by God to bless the world. And it would be through one great king who would one day be born in a family who would personally live forever, establish a kingdom of endless duration. 2 Samuel chapter 7 speaks of how God promised David an eternal throne. Number one, we see here a long line of promises that David's family would reign forever. I repeat, we see here a long line of promises that David's family would reign forever. Number two, from David there would come an eternal family, a line of kings culminating in one eternal king found in Luke chapter 1, 30 to 33. I read it now, I will read it again. It's the most powerful presentation of what is being presented to you here. From David there would come an eternal family, a line of kings culminating in one eternal king. And I read it to you now. Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee called Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph, of the descendants of David. And the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, "Hail, favored one, the Lord is with you." But she was greatly troubled in this statement and kept pondering what kind of salutation this might be. And the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary. You found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. From David there would come an eternal family, a line of kings, culminating in one eternal king." I just read to you Luke 1:30 to 33, in this child Jesus, the Davidic promises found their fulfillment. Now, walk with me. When I was making preparation for this message, I said slowly, but I need to change that. We need to walk rapidly. Now walk with me rapidly through these magnificent verses. You have them before you. All I want you to do is just be aware of the fact that we're going to be reading verses, and we're going to read this all together, not all together, not you and me, but I'm going to be putting these verses on the screen, and you're going to be looking at your inserted comments there and follow along. In 2 Samuel chapter 7, we have an emphasis upon the beginning of promises. In this chapter of 2 Samuel, we see the beginning of the long line of promises that David's family will reign forever over God's temple. Follow. 7:16, thy throne shall be established forever. Also in 1 Kings chapter 2, verse 4, if thy children take heed to their way, to walk before me in truth with all their heart, with all their soul, there shall not fail thee a man on the throne of Israel. 2 Kings 2, 4. 1 Chronicles chapter 22, 8, 9, and 10. A son shall be born to thee. His name shall be Solomon. I will establish his throne of his kingdom over Israel forever. Then we go to 2 Chronicles chapter 7, 17 and 18. If thou wilt walk before me, as David thy father walked, then I will establish thy throne of thy kingdom, according as I have commanded with David thy father, saying, there shall not fail thee a man to be ruler in Israel. 2 Chronicles 7:17-18. The next passage is found in Psalm 89:3-4 and verses 27-29, 34-37. I read, I have made a covenant with my chosen. I have sworn unto David, my servant, thy seed will I establish forever and build up thy throne unto all generations. I will make him, my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth, and my covenant shall stand fast with him. His seed will I make to endure forever, and his throne as the days of heaven. My covenant I will not break, nor alter the thing that has gone out from my lips. Once I have sworn by my holiness, I will not lie to David. His throne shall be established forever. You may realize that what I'm trying to get over by reading these verses is an emphasis upon the fact that that is stated here. I will not lie to David. His throne shall be established forever. Then we go to Psalm 132, verse 11. The Lord has sworn in truth unto David. He will not turn from it. Of the fruit of thy body will I sit upon thy throne. Psalm 132, verse 11. Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. In that day will I arise or raise up the tabernacle of David that is fallen, that they may possess all the nations which are called by my name, saith the Lord. That's Amos chapter 9, verses 11 and 12. Then we find in Isaiah chapter 9, 6 and 7, unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace, there shall be no end upon the throne of David. I go back and reread this because I want you to see that many times people, I believe, do the scripture in an injustice by inserting commas when commas are not belonging there. So I read to you again, and I want you to see how fantastic this is. I'll go back and let you see. Unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulders, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, not Wonderful, comma, Counselor. Let me read it again. And his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. Of the increase of his government and peace there shall be no end upon the throne of David. If you've been listening carefully today, you've been able to see that we are emphasizing David. Had you heard that? Have you heard that? I'm telling you, I'm trying to emphasize. And what does it say? And it says here, of the increase of his government and peace shall be no end upon the throne of David. And then in Isaiah 11, 1, 10, there shall come forth a rod out of the stem of Jesse, and a branch shall grow out of its roots, which shall stand for an ensign of the people, and to him shall the nations seek. When you go then to the book of Micah, and go to chapter 5, in verses 2 and 4, here's what you find. Thou, Bethlehem, city of David, out of thee shall come forth one unto me, who is to be the ruler in Israel, whose goings forth are from of old, from everlasting. He shall be great unto the ends of the earth. Stay with me and think what is being presented. He shall be great unto the ends of the earth. Micah 5, 2 and 4. Then in Jeremiah chapter 2, chapter 22, what does it say? O earth, O earth, O earth, hear the word of the Lord. Behold, the day is come, saith the Lord, that I will raise up unto David a righteous branch, and a king shall reign. And this is his name, whereby he shall be called the Lord our righteous. Jeremiah 22, 29, 23, 5, and 6. Then in Jeremiah 13, 20 and 21, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, so that there should not be day and night in their season, then may also my covenant be broken with David. Then we find Zechariah chapter 3, verses 8 and 9. I will bring forth my servant, the branch, and I will remove the iniquity of the land in one day. Zechariah chapter 3, 8 and 9. Zechariah 6, 12, 13. Chapter 9 and verse 10. The man whose name is the branch, he shall build the temple of the Lord, and he shall bear the glory, and shall sit and rule upon his throne. And his dominion shall be from sea to sea, and from the river to the ends of the earth. Zechariah chapter 6, verse 12 and 13. Zechariah chapter 9, verse 10. Zechariah then chapter 12, verses 8. And chapter 13, verse 1. In that day, the house of David shall be as God. In that day, there shall be a fountain open to the house of David for sin and uncleanness. Then you go on down to other passages of Scripture and you'll discover, thus we promise of the eternal king to arise in David's family was repeated over and over and over again to David himself, to Solomon, and again in the Psalms and by the prophets, Amos, Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, and over a period of 500 years. In the fullness of time, the angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth to Mary, who was of the family of David. And I pause to let you see what is being said here in Luke chapter 1, 30, 33. In the fullness of time, the angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth to Mary, who was of the family of David, and said, and then I read again this magnificent passage. What does it say? When we get down to verse 30, we read, and the angel said to her, don't be afraid, Mary. You have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bear a son, and you shall name him Jesus. Then when you go to verse 32, he will be great and will be called the Son of the Most High. The Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom will have no end. Now, I need to go back and tell you that the promise of an eternal king to arise in David's family is repeated time and time and time again I've already emphasized this, and I repeat, the promise of an eternal king to arise in David's family is repeated time and time and time again to David himself, to Solomon in the Psalms, by the prophets Amos, Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, over a period of some 500 years. By and by, in the fullness of time, the angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth to Mary, who was of the family of David. And he said, and I've read the scripture several times now, Luke 1:30-33, Jesus, throne of David, forever, no end, this child, here we have the fulfillment of the wonderful promises of David. Now, if you'll take a look at the insert, in Jesus Christ, the Davidic promises are fulfilled. Beginning with 2 Samuel chapter 7, the long line begins that David's family would reign forever. 2 Samuel 7:16, 1 Kings 2:4, 1 Chronicles 22:8-10, 2 Chronicles 7:17-18, Psalm 89:3-4, 27:29, 34-37, Psalm 132:11, Amos 9:11-12, Isaiah 9:6-7, Isaiah 11:1, Isaiah 11:10, Micah 5:2-4, Jeremiah 22:29, 23:5-6. Some of you are saying, well, I can read. Why are you reading it to me? I wanted you to see and be impressed with the fact that this is a long line of scriptures that reveal so beautifully the Davidic promises. Jeremiah 33:20-21, Zechariah 3:8-9, Zechariah 6:12-13-9-10, Zechariah 12:8-31-13-1. Notice, if you will, the promise of an eternal king to arise in David's family is repeated over and over again. I've read this now 3 or 4 times to David himself, to Solomon, in the Psalms, by the prophets Amos, Isaiah, Micah, Jeremiah, Zechariah, over a period of some 500 years. I'm going to pause right here before I finish this last paragraph to let you know that most of us remember some things about David. Most of us are aware of the fact that when you mention David, you will remember that the Bible says that he was a man after God's own heart. I'm sure that most of you remember that. But I'm also aware of the fact that David, as any individual, was not a perfect individual. And that he was an individual who made mistakes along the way, just like you and I make mistakes along the way. And so as a result of this, most of us, when we think of terms of David, we think about David and Bathsheba. Those things come into our mind. And the reason for that is because we hear it over and over again. I thought it would be very important for me to move this coming Wednesday night into the subject of the David-Bathsheba experience and just let you know that here's a man who's a man after God's own heart who made some mistakes along the way. And so we're going to deal with the subject on Wednesday night of adultery. You probably saw that announced. So you can choose to stay away from the service if you so desire. That'll be fine. But I want you to understand that if you're here, you're going to have your ears burning and your heart aflame, I believe. All right, we come then to awareness of the fact that we have the Davidic promises and they're being fulfilled. By and by, notice the last paragraph on the inserted sheet. By and by, in the fullness of time, the angel Gabriel was sent to Nazareth to Mary, who was of the family of David, and he said, behold, you will conceive in your womb, you'll bear a son, you shall name him Jesus. He will be great. He will be called the Son of the Most High, and the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. If you've heard it, I believe it's made an impression upon your mind. And he goes on to say, and he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. You and I have accepted the Lord Jesus Christ. He's the Son of David, the messianic title. We have been looking at the house of David. All of us are aware of the fact that we're here for a short period of time. And when we leave this life as a believer in Jesus Christ, we're going to be related from that point of time on to the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. I want you to be able to see today that you and I have a wonderful, magnificent, great Savior, who is Jesus Christ, God's Son. And the emphasis is placed upon the fact that He's made preparation for you and me. And the preparation is that we, though our heart beating now will stop one of these days, though we're breathing now, one of these days we'll take our last breath. But when that takes place, we're going to be absent from this body and we'll be with the Lord Jesus Christ, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, throughout eternity. May we bow for a moment of prayer, please. Father, we're thankful today for the salvation through Jesus Christ, and that we're privileged to be able to look at some of these magnificent truths of your word and understand that they lay the magnificent foundation for us to give us joy and peace and happiness and contentment, knowing that one day, because of all you've done for us and doing for us, we're going to be in your presence forever and ever. We thank you for it. And now as we come here to the close of this service, we want to remind people again today that the only way of salvation is through Jesus Christ. Jesus said, I'm the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. We're aware of the fact that there's only one way of salvation. It's faith alone in Christ alone. We ask that you'll bless today those who have yet never accepted Jesus Christ as Savior, that they'll do that, knowing that if they will accept you, you will accept them. And the Scripture says, but as many as received Him, that's Jesus, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to those that believe on His name. Thank you for every blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.
Sing to Jesus. Throne.